For today, we're in Colossians 3:18. Children are going to stay in with us just until Brother Fred gets done singing, and then children are going to be dismissed with Brother Fred over to the children's church. Amen. Chapter number 3 of Colossians. We are picking up where we left off last week, and so if you were not here last week, I'll try to fill in the gaps for you so you know where we're at. Colossians chapter 3. Verse number 18, talking about ordinary sinners with extraordinary Savior, dealing with relational problems that we find ourselves with when we come to Christ. Amen. All of us have problems. Amen. Some of those are relational. Colossians 3, verse 18. Everybody there say amen. I'm going to read 18, 19, and 20. Here we go. Wives, submit yourselves. Okay, y'all read with me. Okay, 3, 18, 19, and 20. Here we go. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Father, bless now as we look at the concluding marks and the relational issues. Lord, I pray that your hand of mercy may guide us, direct us, and lead us in this endeavor, and that you, through all things, will get the praise, the honor, and the glory. God, there's one amongst us today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. If they were to die and they're not sure that heaven is their home, help that man, a woman, boy, or girl to make a decision to trust Christ as their Lord and Savior, avoid the penalty of hell, and Lord, to gain access into heaven. We thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Thank you that you've made a way for our relational problems to be minimized through the Spirit of God. We pray that today, Lord, you would speak to our hearts and helping us to have more clarity and the relational problems that we seem to find ourselves in on a repeated basis of time. We thank you, love you, and praise you, God. Pray that you'd minister in us, minister through us, bless in the song special as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, David. Thank you, Brother Fred. Appreciate that message and song. Amen. All right. Well, the children are going to be going with Bro Head and get that settled. Amen. So children are going to be dismissed. Amen. Shane, can we get those back fans turned up all the way there? Continue to be patient with us as well as we have the changing weather. It's going to be a little chillier when you first come in, and then it will warm up a little bit, and it takes a little bit of time for the heat to get down to hit the temperature gauges. Amen. So I think you probably just heard it kick in then with the circulation of the air. So beware that you might wear something a little bit more to keep you a little warmer. Amen. And then as time runs around, you can take that off and be a little bit more comfortable. So we don't want to turn the heat on just yet. Amen. Anybody turn the heat on yet? It dipped down cold, then it got warm again. So we didn't need to, except for those couple of times to get really the cold weather gear in. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. We began talking about relational problems. Problems that we have when we come to Christ. I am on now. Relational problems. When we come to Jesus Christ, the problems that we have, we're talking about an extraordinary Savior that we have for us ordinary sinners. Amen. Sin is nothing ordinary, but it is something that all of us get involved in. But we have an extraordinary Savior that can help us with that. And we began talking about, because you and I are sinners, we come to Christ with this thing called problems. And the one paramount problem that we tend to have is a problem with relationships or with other people. If there were no other people in the world but you, you probably wouldn't have any problems. Amen. But because there are other people, you're going to have problems. Amen. Problems with them and them with you. So when it comes down to this, that's what we're talking about here, relational problems. And we're continuing what we started last week. We are in a fallen world. We are sinners. And we will have relational problems. Let me give you a quote here that I read this week. And it says, the key to overcoming obstacles. Now, by the way, you may have a relationship in your life, and in your opinion, it seems to be an obstacle or a trial. Thank you, Joshua. And it says this about your obstacle or your trial or your difficulty. All of us face obstacles and difficulties in the course of daily living. How many can say amen to that? Whether it's going to work, or whether it's just staying at home with your children, or whether it's going wherever, amen, it's going to be child, whether it's going to school. These obstacles and difficulties are not always because of a special attack of Satan on your life, although that sometimes may happen. It may not even be because of a judgment on you. Often it's simply part of living in a broken, fallen world. Things are going to go wrong and there are going to be problems. The question is, how will we respond? Amen. Will we allow ourselves to be discouraged? Or will we realize that God's promises are still in operation and that we can trust him for victory? That's pretty good advice, ain't it? Amen. We're either going to be alarmed at it or we're going to say, God, I know you're going to get me through this somehow, some way, sometime. Amen. And so that is something that's going on. We come here to chapter 3 of Colossians in chapter number 3 and verse 18. We found out last week why Paul told the Colossae church they could be successful. And it was because of the information that he gave in verses 1 through 17. Say, preacher, what was some of that information that was key to me handling problems? By the way, when you come to Jesus Christ, does he give you everything you need to solve life's problems?
Yes, he does.
He does. You say, preacher, to solve them? Yes, because sometimes I just need to navigate through it.
Amen.
Amen. I may not have the key or the solution to the problem, but I have the contentment and the peace and the power that passes all understanding to get through it. Amen. Hey, the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. So Jesus Christ, when he comes into our heart, he gives us what we need. And you see here in Colossians chapter 3, Paul tells them, this is why you can overcome your challenges in relationships. Notice what he says in verse number 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Notice what he says in verse number 5. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. What is that, Paul, that I need to do? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He said, get that stuff out of the way. Amen. Notice down there in verse number 7. In which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these. Anger, by the way, putting off anger can help you in a lot of relationships. Amen. What does the Bible say? If you're going to be angry, sin not. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your what? Mouth. So he says, don't let it come out. By the way, a lot of relational issues happen because you and I open up mouth and insert foot. Somebody say amen. We say something that we shouldn't say because we got mad. Amen. Notice what he goes on to say down there in verse number 9. Lie not one to another. Tell the truth. Amen. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, verse 10, and have put on the who? The new man. Paul's saying if you put on the new man, you're going to be fine. Why? Which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Going down to verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. He said, be merciful, kindness, humbleness of mind. Amen. Don't puff yourself up. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Can you be mad at somebody that's living like that? You can't be mad at somebody that's living like that. You can't be mad at somebody that's walking as Christ walked. You can't stay mad at them. Amen. Now let's transplant that. If that is the way Christ wants us to be, put it in the marriage relationship. If that is the way Christ wants us to be, put it in the child relationship. If that is the way God wants us to be, put it in the servant-boss relationship. And guess what? Problems will be minimized. Are you still going to have to work? Yeah, you are. But guess what? It gets a whole lot easier when you know you're not guilty of things that you ought not be doing. Verse number 14. And above all these, put on what? Charity, which is what? The bond of perfectness. It holds it all together. 15. And let the peace of God rule in where? Your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. And be what? Thankful. Let the word of Christ rule, dwell in you what? Richly in all wisdom. What is it doing? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, in the marriage relationship, in the child relationship, in the servant relationship, in the boss relationship, in any relationship you have, whatever you do, what does he say? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So whatever you do, he said, thank God for allowing you to be able to do it. You can't slap somebody upside the head and thank God for letting you do it. Amen. You can't give somebody a piece of your mind and thank God for letting you do it. Amen. Because most of our minds are corrupt in the first place. Amen. You can't do evil and then thank God for allowing you to do evil. Just doesn't work that way. So Paul says, because of what I said in the previous verses, church at Colossae, this is why you can do what I'm about to tell you to do. The relational problems that we're going to look at this morning that we've already just started can be summed up in this relational formula for success. Number one, children, according to verse number 20, children obey right away to improve your state. That's the first thing. Children obey right away to improve your state. Children are only going to be at home for about 18 years. And if you want to improve your state, children, obey. If you want to get out early, don't do it. Amen. And you'll get out one way or another. Amen. It may be by the law. It may be by the truant officer. Amen. It may be by the corrections facility. Amen. But obey right away to improve your state. You're only going to be there for 18 years. So you might as well make it a good one. You might as well improve your stay by obeying. Amen. Hey, my daddy told me if I didn't like the rules, get out. I looked outside and I thought, got no money, got no job, got no car, got no license. I don't have anything. Everything I got, he gave me. You don't like the rules, get out. I guess I can put up with it for a few more years. Amen. 18 years. Guess what? Got my own kids. Now I found out, man, there's some good rules. There's some good rules. I had room. I had board. I had clothes. I had food. I had everything I needed. But he told me, hey, if you don't like the rules, get out. Guess what? I stayed. Guess what? I still go home. Amen. Why? Hey, children, if you want to make sure that this is going to improve your stay, obey right away. Amen. And then wives, submit as is fit to help keep the devil away. Amen. So children, you're obeying right away to improve your stay. Wives, submit as it is fit to help keep the devil away. Amen. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Submit means to voluntarily place yourself under another's authority. Amen. And we said submission can provide a healthy marriage. You're submitting yourself not to somebody else, but your own husband. Amen. By the way, you'll have less headaches and heartaches if you submit to your husband. And by the way, you only have to submit to one husband. What if you had five like your own husband? Now you know why Solomon had grief. Amen. He had all those wives. Amen. A holy marriage. We said a healthy marriage, but also a holy marriage. This is fit. This is for good. And for God. Amen. This is for your good and for God. So wives, submit as it is fit to help keep the devil away. Then husbands, this is your simple outline. Husbands, love as if from above as you continue to pray. For the children, it'll improve your stay. For the wife, it'll help keep the devil away. For the husbands, as you continue to pray. Amen. Why? You need prayer to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. You need prayer. Amen. By the way, God has a beautiful creation out in the world. He created everything, and one of the greatest creations is the woman. Amen. One of the most gracious things that God did was to make woman. And he made her especially different than anything else. And she is one of the most intricate, delicate of his creations and creatures. And she is there to compliment the man, not to compete with him. And I tell you, when he made woman, he did something. She brings in every child that is born. She brings in every child. She brought in the Savior of the world. When God made woman, he did something special. And so when it comes to this relationship, the devil wants to ruin that. And he says, don't follow anything in verses 1 through 17 so that I can ruin your marriage, so I can ruin your husband, I can ruin your wife, I can ruin your children, I can ruin your work relationship, I can ruin your boss, I can ruin your employer, I can ruin it all. Just don't obey. But if you obey, your problems can be minimized. We began talking about just not the wives reflecting submission to your own husbands, the husband reflecting love to his own wife. And we found out love in action is what is needed. Notice what it says down there in verse number 19. Husbands, love your wives be not bitter against her. And I said, husbands should endeavor to reflect love in action. And we began to quantify it. And I want to be as practical as I can, like I was last week. I've been married now for 35 years. And I've been the pastor for 18 years. I've been in counseling for, how long have I been saying? 25, 26 years? I've been in counseling for about 26 years in counseling husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and daughters and children. And a lot of what I say, I've learned along the way of what goes on in Christian homes and lives and relationships. And when we talk about reflecting love to his own wife, love in action, we said this last week, reflect love in action. It'll keep you out of doghouse. We said action in what you say. Say some good things. We gave you some things to say. Action in what you do. We gave you some good things to do. Action in what you don't do. Some bad things that you really don't want to do. And I gave you those as being practical. Hopefully we put some of that into practice over the week. Amen. Ladies, how do husbands do? Amen. Okay, we need to work, man. Amen. Need to work on that. I said, before you walk in a house from your day's work, cleanse your mind from the world, cleanse your manners from the world, and then cause some merriment. The husband should not be, although oftentimes he's the strict enforcer and he is the disciplinarian, he should not be some grumpy Grinch who stole Christmas when he comes home. The children should see some sense of joy and merriment in him. That when I look to dad, yes, I see that disciplinarian. Yes, I see the stern one. Yes, I see the one that's going to hammer down the law, but also see him as having a good time with me. Also see him as fun. Also see him as jolly. Now, I'm not talking about Saint Nick either, amen. I'm talking about happy. So there should be some merriment there when he comes in. And hold your finger there. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, going one book back to your left. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, notice what the Bible says about the husband in 5:25. Husbands, what's the word? Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In other words, what he's saying is demonstrate agape love, which is the highest self-sacrificing love that a man can offer. Husbands, love your wives. And I said, regardless of what your spouse does, you should do your part. Husbands should do their part regardless of what the wife does. Wife, you should do your part regardless of what the husband does. God is not going to hold you accountable for what your husband or what your wife did when you get to heaven. Somebody say amen. God's not going to say, well, how'd your wife treat you? She was mean to me. She was a bear. She was a grouch. And God, why'd you give it to me in the first place? He's not going to ask you that. He's not going to say, how was it with you and your husband? Well, God, he was stubborn. He was prideful. He was mean to me. He's going to say, what did you do with Christ? How did you handle the situation that I gave you? What did you do? God's not going to hold you accountable for anybody else's actions. He's going to hold you accountable for your own actions. And so Paul giving them everything that they need here for the children to obey right away, to improve their state, to the wife submitting as is fit to keep the devil away, and to the husband's loving as if from above, as he continues to pray, giving them everything they need here back in Colossians. And today, primarily, we're going to deal with the second part of verse number 20, number 19. You say, preacher, you mean we're going to devote the whole sermon to that? Just about. Because I think it's an area that we don't understand. Husbands, love your wives. And what's the rest of that? Read it with me. And be not what? Bitter against them. We said, the husband needs to reflect love to his wife. Love in action. Reflect love in action. But also reflect love in your attitude. Reflect love in your attitude. Be not bitter. The word bitter means to be irritated. It means to be exasperated. You know what exasperated means? It means just be fed up. I'm through. I'm out of here. I'm sick of what you're doing. I'm sick of how you do it. I'm sick of you. I'm out of here. I'm exasperated. That's what it comes down to. I'm exasperated. I put up with all I can put up with you. But wait a minute, she had to put up with you too. Amen? But no, I'm upset with you. You know who often leaves the marriage first? The husband. Why? He's irritated. He's exasperated. The word has several meanings here. It means to be irritated, to be exasperated, or to be resentful. Now we're talking about this word bitter. Bitter. This is fuel for the Oprah Winfrey Show. This is fuel for Dr. Phil, for Oz. This is fuel for the Jerry Springer Show, for those that watch it, amen. I stopped watching that years ago when I got saved, amen. You might still watch it, amen. But this is fuel for those television shows, because you get a man up here and you get a woman up there, and they fight, they feud, and they fuss over issues like this. And they give worldly opinions as to what they should do, when all they got to do is get the Bible out and read verses 1 through 17 in Colossians, get saved, and start acting that way. Amen. Get saved and start acting that way. What happens in most Christian homes is that people get saved, but they don't act that way. Somebody say amen. You get a husband that's ungodly, you get a wife that's ungodly, guess what you're going to get? Ungodliness. Just the way it goes. Somebody's got to be spiritual. So reflect love in your attitudes. Be not bitter. Husbands, I hate to say this, but this is the Achilles heel of where you and I live. Amen. Whether we like to admit it or not. You know why? Bitterness is inside. You can smile all day at your wife. Do you love me? You know I love you. Let me say it louder. You know I love you. Can't stand what you do. And inside we're saying something totally different. How much do you love me? Oh, I love you this much. Can't stand what you do, though. And we're smiling on the outside. But bitterness is on the inside. You can't see bitterness. And that's why husbands can wear it for a while. But they get to that breaking point when they get exasperated, when they get so irritated, when they get so resentful that they explode, and either they go to blows on the woman and have domestic violence, or they just throw their hands up and say, I quit with this marriage. I'm through with you. I'm through with the children. I'm through with this family. I'm walking out. Because bitterness is something on the inside. So, men, we got to talk about this. We got to talk about this. And I'm going to give you several things about this word bitter that you and I need to take into consideration, because it's here. And because it's here, we need to deal with it. By the way, I'll tell you in a heartbeat, wives, if you don't want to submit, don't get married. The worst thing for you to do is get married and don't want to submit. The next worst thing to that is getting married to the wrong person and having to submit to that. Amen. Marrying the wrong person and have to submit to the wrong person that God never intended you to be with. That's why it's important to marry in the will of God, not outside the will of God. Because the worst thing that you can do besides marrying and not wanting to submit is marrying the wrong person and submitting to the one that you shouldn't be submitting to in the first place, because you shouldn't have married them. Can God work out any and every situation? Yes, he can by his grace. But you need not be in a situation that you shouldn't have been in the first place. Amen. I'm just saying. Preacher, I don't like this. This is bad already. Folks, let me give you a few things here. Husbands, reflect love in your actions. We talked about that. Reflect love in your attitude. Actions is outward. Attitude comes from within. Attitude comes from within. You think about a child. You ask a child to do something, and they get a attitude. Can you go do something? Why I got to do it? You know where that's coming from? Inside. Attitude comes from inside. Well, why are you going to ask me to do it? There, you happy? No, it wasn't there. Put it where I came from. No, still not right. Still not right. Attitude. Attitude is from within. So when it says love in action, I can do the right things for my wife all the time. I can go the right places. I can say the right things. I can do the right things. I can pretend to be the right things. But my attitude comes from within. My attitude comes from within. And a disobedient child that won't obey right away is going to grow up and make a bad husband. Amen. If you got an attitude with your mama, you're going to have an attitude with your wife. Somebody say amen. If you won't obey your parents' authority as a young girl, you're not going to submit to your husband's authority. Somebody say amen. So children are being trained to obey right away. Why? As a man, I need to obey God. As a wife, I'm going to have to submit to that husband that's in the place of godliness. Observe, being bitter against them has the idea of being not bitter in my affection towards them. Not being bitter in my affection towards them. That means not getting upset when they want your time. That's pulled away from your football program, or your basketball program, or your little video games, or your time with your little reindeer friends, amen. It's being not upset when I can't play with my little toys that I have, my little computer, my little device, my little whatever it is. Well, honey, don't you know I got to go tinker with my friends? You didn't marry your friends. Last time I checked, you married me. How about tinkering with me? I'm good to operate on. Well, you used to be, you wicked man, you. You ain't what you used to be either. Hey, not bitter and affectionate towards them, that is, not upset when they want time, your time, not cold and indifferent in their love to them, not bitter in expression towards them, not speaking down to them, not bitter in their actions toward them, which is contrary to the law of nature. All those things are wrapped up into being bitter. Amen. And we hide it so well. Would you like me to wash the dishes for you? No, I'd like you to sit down and tell me how much you love me. I don't want to do that. I'd rather wash the dishes. It's easier. But you used to tell me how much you loved me when we were courting. Yeah, but we're not courting anymore, are we? Come on now. Let's just speak the truth. Let's just speak the truth. We get bitter because now I'm having to do things that I really don't want to do. Well, wait a minute, you did them when you were trying to get me. But yeah, I got you. Come on now. My grandfather told me a long time, it's not Bible, but it's true. Start out how you can hold out. He said, you go out and buy her roses every day. You better make sure you can hold that out, because she's going to expect roses the rest of them days. You start out buying them gifts now. Now, boy, it's going to cost you. You better make sure you can hold that out. He said, boy, you better start out how you can hold out. If you can't keep it up, don't even start in the first place. Amen. Hey, let me ask you this question. What could cause a husband to be bitter or irritated or exasperated or resentful toward his lovely, beautiful, thoughtful, delightful, caring, God-given, beautiful, delicate rose? What could cause a man to be that way? Say, her! Ain't got nothing to do with her. It's got everything to do with you and your attitude. Somebody say amen. Preacher, I can't amen that. If I amen it, he gonna get me. I'm just saying. What could cause a man to be irritated? Let me give you a couple choice words here. Confusion is one. Comprehension is another. Understanding is another. Two words, black and white, is another. When a man sees it as black and white, a woman can see rainbows. When the man wants to be stable, the wife seems to be shifty. I finally line it up, and then she moves. Okay, honey, I'm trying to get this picture, okay? Line it up. She moves over here. Okay, I'm trying to get that picture. Line it up. Okay, honey, I'm trying to get that picture. Line before I'm 360 degrees before I line. Trying to line that thing up. And it's no slam against the woman. That's just the way she is. That's just the way she is. Now, not every woman is that way. But women kind of go over here, a little bit over here. Man says, well, can we just settle? Can we just be settled for a time? I like it over here. I like it over there. I like it over here, man. Yeah. Honey, can you move the furniture? We moved it yesterday. I don't want to move it again. Honey, can you move that picture? We moved it yesterday. I'm going to move it again. We hang the shades a little bit different. We hung them last week. I'm going to hang them again. We washed the clothes. We washed them last week. You need to wash them again. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? The woman is different. Bitterness, let me give you this. Bitterness is generated from traits that bewilder the husband. Bitterness is generated from traits that bewilder the husband. Let me give you the rest of that sentence. That he once overlooked when he was infatuated with her. So in other words, it was there all along. I just didn't have my magnifying glass out because I was so infatuated. I just didn't see it because I was in awe of your beauty. I was in awe of how you look. I was enamored by your glamour, and I didn't see it, but it was there all along, and now the thrill is gone, and 7 children later, you don't look like you used to, and I see the truth. And it's been going on for the last 10 years, and I'm a little bit tired of it. I'm getting a little bit exasperated with it. I'm getting a little bit fed up with it. And it's been there all along. Just didn't have the glass out. That's why I didn't see it. There's a reason why God put this in there and be not bitter against them. Bitterness is generated from traits that bewilder the husband that he once overlooked when he was infatuated. They may be small, they may be large, they can range from the physical to the emotional to the financial to the spiritual. It can be a myriad of things. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5 with me one moment real quick. Ephesians chapter 5. And this is not your amen message. This is hidden word. I told you this is the Achilles heel. Ephesians 5, and notice verse 26. He already told the husband to love his wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Then he said that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He's saying, Christ gave himself and he loved the church to make the church better. The husband is there to make the wife better, not worse. Better, not bitter. Better. That's what he says. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And he's talking about the church. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. I want to have a glorious spouse, not having spot or wrinkle. I want to make her better or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I want to make my wife better. Verse 28, so ought men to what? Love their wives as their own body. He said the same way that I spoke about verse 26 and verse 27, to make the church better, the husband should make the wife better, not worse. Not worse. While the wife tends to be more tolerant of his traits than she is with his, after infatuation is worn off because she genuinely loves him, he oftentimes is not as tolerant of hers. And that's why the man normally wants to break it off quicker. She's more tolerant than he is. She's more lenient when it comes to that. She's more forgiving. She'll overlook those faults and those traits because he's my protector. He's there to take care of me. He's there to provide me. And sometimes I'll even put up with abuse and betterment because I love him that much that I'll stay with the abuse. I'll stay with that because I know it's God's will. When the husband will jump ship quicker than you can shake a stick. Oftentimes, he is not as understanding and tolerant with her traits as he was with hers. Because, by the way, in case you didn't guess, man, you had some bad traits too when she married you. I know I had mine. Still got some of them. So oftentimes, when he's not as tolerant with her, it leads to his bitterness. Hence, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Why? Because it's natural to do. Go back to Colossians with me. I'm going to go back and forth between those two here over the next several minutes. Give you 3 things, men, that you need to make sure you understand. The first one that gets you in trouble, and this is a misunderstanding. The man becomes bitter with the wife because he misunderstands who she is.
misunderstands who she is. Do you really know what she is? Do you really know who she is? Let me give you just some suggestions. When the man gets bitter, it's often because he misunderstands that she's a wife, she's a lover, she's a mom, she's a referee, she's a lawyer, she's a police, she's a daughter, she's a sister, she's an aunt, she's a grandmother, she's a cousin, she's a fixer, she's a worker, she's a supervisor, she's a relative, she's a nurse, she's a teacher, she's a taxi driver, she's a coordinator, she's a friend, and much more. Wearing all of those hats for her can get taxing and can get tasking, and sometimes the man refuses or does not understand who she really is. And so you get exasperated when she is not what you want her to be, when she has already been so many things. Somebody say amen. And I can get bitter when you don't do what I want you to do. Now, is she supposed to submit to him? Yes, she should. Should she tend to his needs? Yes, she should. But she's only human. She's still a sinner saved by grace. And so hence, love your wife and be not bitter because you misunderstand who she is. Number two, misunderstanding why she is. Oh, man, we can write a book on this one. This one will get you in trouble. Misunderstanding why she is. And I got in parentheses, why did God make her that way? Why is she? We don't often know why she is the way she is. And I'll give you another point. We don't need to know why she is the way she is sometimes. She just is. It's like God is I am. She just is. God is I am. He's self-existent. He needs nothing else. The wife, she just is. It's the way she is. She is. And you and I will go bonkers trying to figure her out. Don't try. She just is. By the way, she was when you married her. And she still is. Misunderstanding who she is and then misunderstanding how she is or why she is. God made her that way. That's why he says, husbands, love your wife. He did not say, husbands, figure her out. Anybody read that in the Bible? Husbands, figure your wives out. You go crazy trying to figure her out. That's like trying to figure out where God came from. You go crazy. God always was, always will be. The wife always will be this way. That's just the way she is. Misunderstanding why she is, misunderstanding who she is. Love her, her way, not yours. Sometimes she may not know what she needs. What do you need? Well, I don't know. What's wrong with you? I don't know. And she doesn't know. So you trying to get out what she doesn't know is a losing battle. I know, I'll hypnotize her. You're getting sleepy. What's wrong with you? I don't know. I don't care how you slice it, you're going to get the same answer. When she knows, trust me, she'll tell you. One thing she does not like doing is keeping secrets from you when it comes to communication. She'll tell you how she feels. You just don't want to hear it. Come watch this. You say you want some ice cream? I want some too. Come help fold the clothes. You say you want to watch TV? Okay, yeah, I was going to watch my program. Can you go and take the kids? You say, you want me to fix the car? Okay, I can do that. Sometimes we just don't want to hear. We want to do what we want to do. I want to help you my way. No, she says, I need you to help me my way. We misunderstand who she is. We understand why she is. By the way, man, let me give you this. I learned this a long time ago. Don't be mixed or fix it because she's not broken. You can't fix a woman's emotions. You're not Dr. God. And they're not broken in the first place. He made her uniquely different from you. Amen. Give you this verse of scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter, this will all keep you out of the doghouse. And off the couch. 1 Peter 3, 7. And he talks about the wife here in 1 Peter 3, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. But then in verse 7, he puts that word likewise. That means in the same way that she is, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That word knowledge means science. It means to know. dwell with them according to knowledge means to know her, giving honor unto the wife, in other words, putting value on the wife, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. There he's dealing with something delicate. He's not talking about weaker as far as inferior, but something that is delicate and expensive, because he already told you, give honor to her, place a high value unto her as unto the weaker vessel, or that thing that is delicate that can be easily broken. You want to ruin a woman's emotions real quick? Say the wrong thing. You want to get on her bad side? Say the wrong thing. I'm trying to teach my boys, there's certain things you just don't say to a lady. Well, it looks like you gained weight. You don't say that. You look fat. I said, boy, you don't say that to ladies. That's ugly. You don't say that. There's certain things you just don't say. But it's true. Speak the truth in love, son. Okay, I love you. That's ugly. I'm still working on some etiquette things here. Still working that. Boys, you just don't say that to girls. But, you know, you don't say that. When you get older, son, you get punched in the eye. You're fat. You got a black eye. Certain things you just don't say. So it says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Get to know them. Place a high value on her, giving her honor. Why? She's the weaker vessel, not weaker in anything other than she's fragile. Men normally have thick skin most times. Some don't. Some are some just emotional, as ladies in certain things. Amen. But only men have thick skin. It's water off a duck's back for them, whereas a woman sometimes it'll bother her a little bit more. Not often. I mean, not always, but sometimes. And so he says you need to dwell with her according to knowledge. Why? And as being heirs together of the grace of life. You guys have the same grace. That your prayers be not what? Hindered. And what does he follow up with? Finally, be ye all of one mind. Have compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. I'll get you back. But contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit what? A blessing. Paul is going out of his way, and Peter is joining in, saying, this is what you got to do to make this right. So I've got to make sure I'm not misunderstanding who she is. I've got to make sure I'm not misunderstanding why she is. And I've got to make sure that I'm not misunderstanding how she is. A lot of ladies can play hurt well. You know, these athletes get out there and they're playing although they're injured, and they're playing all they're injured. And we wonder, why is their performance down? Why aren't they scoring a touchdown? Why aren't they throwing the ball? Why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they scoring? That's not them, because they're playing injured. Ladies often play injured. They minister injured. They keep the house injured. They go to work injured. Emotionally, they're injured. Physically, they're injured. Socially, they're injured. Relationally, they're injured. But I'm going on. I'm limping along. We say, well, why aren't you producing the way you should? Because I'm injured. And if you took time to see how injured I am, you might understand a little bit more about me. Amen. Misunderstanding how she is. Most women play hurt very well because they know what they need to do to get the job done. And they will get it done even though they're hurting. They'll minister to the child though hurting. They'll minister for the husband even though hurting. They'll go to the boss even though they're hurting. They'll do all these things even though they're hurting. And then we have the nerve to get bitter with them, exasperated with them, resentful when they won't do something for us when they're moving in an injured state. Folks, I know I've had my Achilles replaced. My other Achilles is bad, and I can't do what I used to do. I can't beat up on the boys no more like I used to. So I had to play old man ball, hold them down, and then get the rebound. Hey, look over there. That made you look. Hey, misunderstanding who she is. Misunderstanding how she is, and misunderstanding why she is. I'll give you some observations here. The general duty of the husband involves contentment and satisfaction in her. I'm content. I'm satisfied with her. I don't need another. I'm content with. I married her. If I married her, I should be content. Why do I want something else? Hey, folks, the grass is always greener on the other side. But you got to cut it over there, too. And it has mosquitoes in it over there, too. The grass is always greener on the other side. Hey, content and satisfied in her. Patient, bearing with her weaknesses. And I like this one. A prudential hiding of her infirmities. In other words, don't let everybody know where she's not strong at. You don't have to go and brag, well, my wife's a bad cook. My wife can't keep a house. What if she blasted you about all the stuff you can't do? And my wife don't do this, and my wife can't do this, and my wife can't do this. And then your wife do that, my wife don't do that for me. But you keep it up like that, she won't do nothing but hit you with a frying pan. A prudential hiding of her infirmities. In other words, the man is supposed to be that covering, that protection. As she submits and comes under his authority, she's trusting him to protect her interests, to protect her reputation, to protect her heart, to shield her from other people. And when you give people ammunition to throw at her, guess what? You're putting darts in their hands to throw a target at your wife. Because you're telling them what she's not doing. Let me tell you that. You tell the wrong woman that, she might come in and undermine and submarine you. She'll start putting the make on you. Oh, your wife don't cook? I'm a good cook. Your wife don't wear makeup? I wear my makeup. Your wife don't dress up for you? I dress up for you. Your wife don't do this? I can do that for you. Before you know, you'd be sucker. Because you gave the ammunition, told them all the weaknesses, all the things that she can't do, and she'll do them for you. And she'll drop you like a hot potato too. Yeah. Amen. Hiding of her infirmities. Don't let everyone know her weaknesses. A cheerful supplying of her wants. If she wants it, amen, let her have it, amen. If it's within the will of God. A readiness to instruct and direct her, a willingness to pray for her and pray with her, among other things. And that's just a small list. Now, let me give you these things here. We're going to have to close here. Amen. And again, all this is meant to be practical, to supplement what God says here about husbands dwelling with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. All this supplements Colossians. Go back over there. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Let me give you these here real quick, amen. Additionally, into everything that we said about not misunderstanding who she is, not misunderstanding how she is, not misunderstanding why she is, all the duties of being content with her and patient with her and hiding her infirmities, amen. Additionally, be compassionate during the changing times of the day. By the way, when you leave in the morning or when you separate, a lot happens from the time you leave to the time you get back. If you think you're going to come and find the same person you left in the morning, you're gravely mistaken. Well, she was cheery in the morning when I left, and she was playing with the kids, and she's smiling, and I came home, she had a face like this. And I came home to bring merriness to the house, like preacher said, and that's what I found. And I puckered up, and she said, changing times of the day. She might have got a phone call from a loved one that passed. She might have found out that she had an illness that she didn't know she had. She might have found out an appointment that she got the results back on. She might have found out one of the kids got in trouble at school. A lot of things can happen through the course of a day. I've got to understand the changing times of the day. I cannot come home and be bitter because she's not what I think she should be. Amen. And that's what happens. Where's my supper? Well, I didn't have the time to make it because what? Woman, you know I get home at such and such a time, and you know I want to eat at such and such a time. Where's my supper at? Well, honey, let me understand. I have no understanding. You know who I am. You know what I want. Yeah, you want a swift kick in the rump. That's what you want. And that's probably what she wants to give you sometimes. But because she's a delicate rose, she's not going to do that. She'll just go in the back room and pray for you and pray on you too. Be compassionate during the changing times of the day. Time doesn't stand still when you're out and you're apart. Be compassionate during the changing times of the month. You will never understand it, so just accept it. You'll never understand it, so just accept it. And accept the fact that it doesn't happen to you. But I got to put up with it. It could be worse. You could both be going through it. How about that? Amen. That's why I don't see how they do the same-sex marriage, putting two ladies together, married to each other, going through the thing and saying, nah, I can't see how they do that. Amen. But anyway, changing times of the month, you never understand it, just accept it. Changing times of life, amen. Life is going to change for her. She is going to get older. Things are not going to be the way they used to be. Don't forget, you're changing too. Well, you're not as beautiful as you look. Well, you're not as muscular as you used to be. Well, you're getting gray. You're getting bald. She could throw some stuff right back at you. Well, your legs used to be trim. Now they're a tree. What happened to you? Right? She could get back at you. Look at your gut. It had some abs there. Now it's just flab there. Amen. From abs to flab. Well, you went from trim to a tree leg. You're throwing insoles back and forth. Changing times of life are going to come to you both. That's why you need to marry for the heart. And marry for the will of God. Not looking at, whoo, boy. Who she's looking. I'm not saying go get you somebody ugly. I'm not saying that either. But mothers say beauty is skin deep, but ugly is to the bone. Amen. Say, boy, don't you come on with nobody ugly. I don't want no ugly grandkids. Now, my mother didn't say that, but somebody else said that. They tried to get one of my sons. They said, I want some beautiful grandchildren. Let me get one of the pastor's sons there. You know? Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't want no ugly grandbabies. I mean, all babies are cute. There ain't no such thing as ugly grandbabies. Amen. But according to this person, I want no ugly grandkids. My wife and I heard that. We thought, hey. So be compassionate during changing times of the day, changing times of the month, changing times of life, but then changing times of health. Hey, folks, we're declining. As you said, till death do we part. You're going to get older. And you're not going to function as quickly as you used to. Don't get mad when she starts forgetting things, because you might forget things too. Don't get mad when she forgets her teeth. You might forget yours too. Hey, don't get mad when functions start failing, because your functions may start failing too. Hey, both of you can't see. You both forget your glasses. You're both groping in the dark. Just praise God and be content. Why? These are things that can make us bitter. And we don't say it openly. We won't say it to her, but we'll hide it right here. And so God had to say, husbands, love your wife, and don't you even think about being bitter. You better understand who she is, why she is, and how she is. Don't you go being bitter against her because you don't understand all the hats she's wearing. Don't you be bitter because things are changing during the day and you don't see what's changing and you want your way. How about getting in her shoes for a change and understanding what's going on her way? And so God has to come and say, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter. Husbands, if you don't want to put up with that, then just don't get married. Because the woman is one of the most unique creatures in the world. She's one of the most special creations in the world. And God gave her to that man that's married to her to protect her, to encourage her, to comfort her, to make her better. Not make her worse. You want to make her worse? You be bitter. You get bitter. And more marriages have gone down the tubes because of bitterness. Bitterness. Now, it can happen to the wife, too. She can be bitter. She can be bitter, too. But I'm just saying. Listen real quick here. I'm going to give you these five quick things. Spiritually speaking, husband, you should lead to return to the next service. That should be your responsibility. Lead in returning to the next service. Spiritually, you should lead in reading the Word of God. And I'm not saying you got to understand everything you read. But if you know Jesus, you know enough. You know Jesus, you know enough. Leading and returning to the next service. Leading and reading the Word of God. Leading to realize your family's potential to the local church. Leading to respect the things of God. And leading to render the first fruits in your tithes and your offerings. You should be leading in that. She shouldn't have to tell you that's what we should be doing. That's something that you should be doing. And oftentimes, when she gets on you about those things, you tend to get bitter about it. Because you really don't want to do it. And you ought to. You ought to. Those are spiritual responsibilities that every husband needs to do. Return to the next service. Read the Word of God. Realize your family's potential to the church. Respect the things of God. Render your first fruits and tithes and offering. Those are things that you should be leading in. That should not be her responsibility to remind you of those things. Now, folks, let me remind you in closing. Paul is writing in Colossians to people that are born again. and you're not born again, you can't do this. At best, you'll stumble along. But in order to fulfill this, you must be born again. Jesus Christ was clear. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Everything that I'm saying to you, you will not be able to do in your own strength or your own power. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't be what I need to be unless the Spirit of God fills me. The woman can't be what she needs to be except the Spirit of God filling her. Children can't be what they need to be except the Spirit of God is filling them. And when the Spirit of God is filling, children can obey right away. Husbands can love from above. Wives can submit as is fit. And everything will be minimized when it comes to problems. If you're not here today, if you're here today and you're not saved, I encourage you, accept Jesus Christ. Whether you're married or not, you still need Jesus. You need Jesus to get to heaven. Without Jesus Christ, you can't get to heaven. You say, preacher, well, I joined the church. That's not getting to heaven. I got baptized. That's not getting to heaven. Well, I spoke in tongues. That's not getting to heaven. Somebody laid hands on me. That's not either. Repentance of your sins. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man cometh unto the Father, he said, but by me. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. And oh Lord, these are things that I believe the average couple struggles with that's married. And these are things that oftentimes are not mentioned across the pulpit. Lord, I'm trying to be as practical as I can, or be a help as good as I can. And I pray that you would help the Spirit of God to impart wisdom to each hearer that is here, to the children that they can obey right away, improve their stay. Their wives will submit as is fit, help keep the devil away. Husbands can love as if from above as they continue to pray. God, help us each to do our part, whether we are single or whether we're married. We all have a part to fulfill some way, shape, fashion, or form. We're a husband, we're a wife, we're a child, we're a servant, or we're a boss. And guys, we've tried to give wisdom for the men today. Help us to leave here differently than when we came in. A little bit more knowledgeable about what our responsibilities are. Not trying to make someone else do their job, but just doing our job to be what you want us to be. Thank you for loving us. Bless now this invitation. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. How many